Amen. Thank you, Brother Roberts. Well, we're going to be having some testimonies tonight, and we've heard quite a few, and they've been awesome, and I'm looking forward to hearing these tonight. So up there in the tape room, make sure you get that microphone turned up nice and loud for them, and y'all don't be afraid to adjust that mic if you need to. Just play like Dr. Carter, you know, move it around. The preacher mentioned that if you wanted to go out to the Navajo Nation, that they couldn't pay you out there, right? But from all the testimonies I've heard, there's a great need for dog catchers. Amen? So you can probably work full-time out there, right? And just joking there. But there is a great need out there. So thank you folks for going out there and participating. And I'm turning everything over to Brother James.
Again, as Brother Perkins mentioned, yes, there's a great need for dog catchers, for the dogs and all, but there's a much greater need just reaching the people there. And again, even just a short time that we're able to, praise the Lord for all that we're able to do, but I just think of how much more there still is. And praise the Lord for just the testimonies and some of the reports that we've heard of just how much of a blessing, not only for us going out, handing out invitations for their VBS that they had, but also the vans. Again, the vans, all the hard work that was put into van. I know you heard from Brother Chris just this past Wednesday as far as getting the vans together to just to get them out there, but how much of a continual blessing that is, right? They've got buses, right? They just don't have drivers for those buses, kind of like us. We need drivers for our buses. So what they really needed more than anything else was vans, and what a blessing it is that because of those vans, there's two new routes that they're able to go and pick up families and children and already see souls saved through that and all the fruit that will continue to come because of that and along with all the other blessings that came along with. Again, thank you, church, for everything, for your giving, for your sacrifice, for your prayer. Now it's a matter of continuing to give and continue to sacrifice and continuing to pray for the Lord to continue to do his work there. And praise the Lord, we're ready to hear from a few more of our testimonies. We're going to try and get as many as we can done today. I know, again, we had 60 people go, and we want to give each one of them the opportunity to speak. 30 of them were teenagers, so that was a special blessing there, but also their families and many that came. So we're going to start with Landy. I know she had the opportunity earlier, but we're going to make sure that she has the opportunity now. So Landy, why don't you go and come on up and go and give your testimony.
Hello, church. My name is Landy. This is my first mission trip I was able to go on. It's such a blessing, though, because after graduation, I wasn't sure. I'm still not sure, to be honest, what I want to do with my life. But my parents had encouraged me to just get involved in the church, you know, go on everything you can, like go to the camp, go to the missions trip, everything. And at first, I was a little, you know, scared to do that. But, you know, I went, and I wouldn't have traded that experience for the world. I mean, I had just an awesome week. I wasn't able to lead anyone to the Lord, but I was with people who were able to, and it's just such a blessing to be able to see that. And I'm also thankful to be able to go to camp because I got assurance of my salvation, and I got baptized last Sunday. So I just want to thank my parents, you know, for helping me with that and getting me close to the Lord. The missions trip really helped with that too. It was just nice to get away, you know, from your phone and from just the cares of this world, you know, your normal life, and just be able to serve the Lord and just be around other people who want to do the same. And that just really encouraged me. And it helped me to realize that I just need to get my life to the Lord. And I'm just praying whatever's next for me, that he'll lead me in the right way. It was just such a cool experience. And Brother Chitty, there's no one like him. He's just a wonderful person. He's super funny. And he would walk up to me every day and call me beautiful. And he was just so funny and such a blessing to be able to be around. And also his wife, she was just an encouragement to me as like a strong lady of the Lord. And she always encouraged her husband to, you know, stay faithful when he felt like he wanted to give up. But that just really encouraged me as a woman, you know, just to, you know, stay faithful to the Lord and let him guide your path. So I'd just like to thank you, church, for all your prayers and support.
Amen. Kasara, if you want to come up. Again, Landy was a special blessing. She was an unbelievably hard worker out there. She was always looking for something to do. When we were ready to kind of say, okay, we're done now, she's like, well, can I keep can I keep going? There's still some work that still needs to get done, and I really want to get that finished for them. And it was just a blessing to have that type of heart of service more than anything else, and that's what that is. You know, a heart of service doesn't care what the time clock says, right? A heart of service is, it needs something that needs to get done for the Lord, and the Lord works all the time, so we can work all the time for the Lord. Amen? Ms. Casera.
Hello, church. I wanted to tell you guys a couple of misconceptions I had about going to the missions trip. One was I thought that everyone was going to be in Indian garments. They were not. They were modern dressed. Another thing, I thought that they were going to only speak Navajo. So when we went door knocking and they spoke English, I'm like, yes. And the last thing was we were going to go to a flea market, and I looked at our driver and I said, so what's the exchange currency? And he's like, you're still in the United States. I'm like... So when I was 16, I went on a missions trip to Costa Rica, and every single thing that I was sad about that missions trip, God did the opposite for this one, and I just want to share a couple with those. One was, I don't remember meeting the missionary that we went to go see until we got to the airport and met him there. It was kind of like, oh, hi, we're here to help you. And we didn't have that. With Brother Tritty, Dr. Tritty's already been here, Mrs. Tritty came, even Don Tritty Jr., so it felt like we were going to help family, so that was nice. Another thing was, when we went door knocking in Costa Rica, there was every yard was barred up. You couldn't go knock on people's doors. So just being able to put tracks in their gate was just one thing, but it was really sad because we couldn't talk to people. The other thing is they didn't speak English. But again, we were able to go door knocking at this place, and we were able to tell them the gospel and be able to talk to them. So that was nice. The last thing was when we went, the only thing I remember working, we had one work day, the only thing I did was tape up things. And again, it was needed. But I had a heart to work, and being said, hey, this is your job, and then you're done, I was like, well, I want to work more. And again, you've heard it from everyone. They put us to work. So I just was really happy that this mission trip, God helped me with that one than the previous one I had. Another thing that we were able to do was we were supposed to write a letter why we wanted to go on this mission trip. And one of the things I wrote in my letter was I wanted to be a help for our teenagers because this is our teen mission trip. And again, I have limited time. So I just want to say that in three different areas, God was able to help me with in ways of ministry on helping those teenagers. I got to tell you a funny story. We were put into travel groups and cleaning groups and soul winning groups and who I'm waking up at 6:30 groups. We were in groups all the time. And they weren't always the same people in every group. And on Monday, when the first group was going to go to the Grand Canyon, I had a list of who to wake up really early before I went to bed. So I asked, I figured out where everyone was so I didn't wake up the wrong people. And when I woke up, I started waking this person up. Well, I went and woke up this girl. She was not moving. Guys, I shook her, and I was trying to shake her enough to not wake up the whole place, but she wasn't moving. And I like, is she breathing? Okay, she's breathing. And she finally, I got her up. Another girl said, yeah, I checked her pulse when I tried to wake her up. I said, okay, it wasn't just me. So I wake her up, and I'm like, Grand Canyon Day, you know, whispering. And she sits up, and when I left the girls' dorm, it was super muddy, and I didn't want the girls to get the place mudded from in the vans we just bought the church. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to go find some wood for y'all to step out, stay inside. So I left. I put some wood there, and I told the people, hey, the van's ready now. So the van went and picked them up, and we get a to-go breakfast. We get in the car. We go to leave. And I'm like, yeah, it was so hard to wake up this one girl. And they looked at me, and they're like, Casera, she's not on today's trip. I'm like, oh, I was so bummed. I just woke up the wrong girl. I thought I had my list, but I did not have that list right. So as soon as we got back from the Grand Canyon, I beelined it to her. I said, listen, I'm so sorry I woke you up. I did not. I had all these lists in my head, and I'm so sorry. She just looks at me. She goes, huh? I'm like, never mind. Never mind. I was so embarrassed, though. Okay. I do, again, you guys have heard it lots of times, I do want to thank the church, the pastor, for allowing us to go, and I want to thank the adults, the teenagers, and even the kids that worked out there. Everyone did a great job, and it was said the other night about the drivers. Again, thank you so much for all the driving that you did. I want to thank my mother-in-law and sister-in-law for watching my kids and my husband, because I wouldn't have been able to work as hard as I did if I brought them with me. I will take them on the next one because I missed them a lot. The last thing I'm going to share with you is I bought this bracelet at the flea market with English dollars, and I brought it because it has the Navajo type pattern, and I just bought it to remind me to pray for the people in the Navajo Nation and the people of Open Bible Baptist Church. And if you are able to go on the next one, I really encourage you, if you've never been on one, or even if you've been on one, to go on the next one. Thank you.
Amen. And Trey, if you want to go ahead and come up. Go ahead.
Okay. Hello, church. My name is Andrea Betancourt, for those who don't know me. Well, I don't really have that many funny stories or stories at all. I was with my mom and my sisters for most of the week, which was really good because I didn't really, like, had to be able to talk to many people because I live with them. So, which was just easy being with them the whole week. I just want to say it was really a great experience and a huge blessing to be able to go out of the state. And, like, I've been out of the state before, but to do what we did, I've never done. So it was really good. And being able to do it with my mom was even better because normally we would go without, you know, my mom would stay home taking care of all the kids. So it was like such a blessing to be able to go with my mom. And yeah, so I just want to thank you guys so much for everything. And yep.
Amen. Nehemiah, if you want to go ahead and step up. Again, one of the unique things about the trip was, as we mentioned, the teenagers and the adults. Again, half of them were teenagers and the other half were adults, and just kind of it's a lot different of a dynamic that you would think. All right, some of the adults had some of the children there, some of them didn't, and it was just working the working together of that and meshing that together. And it was really the Lord that did everything and worked everything out perfectly the way that it did. I think it was just a blessing to be able to see the way the groups were working together and everything. So again, thank you for everyone that came with the right heart and the right spirit and to really get the work done. Nehemiah, go ahead.
Hello, church. First, I just want to say thank you for all the money and stuff, and all the prayer was a big thing. I know, like, nothing that we did would have been done if y'all hadn't been, like, praying for us. I just want to say thank you for that. I want to say thank you to my dad and Pastor Parsons for, like, putting everything together, and Pastor Chitty and Brother Don Jr. and just everything, because the whole trip was great. One thing I wanted to mention was it was cool because I was really glad that we were going to be there for like a weekend, because then we got to go on like bus visitation and we're there for the Sunday services. And on Sunday morning, because we were getting up ready to go on the buses, and my mom's like, hey, do you want to help in a junior church? I was like, okay, sure. So then we went in there and it was cool just getting to see, like, because I'm kind of like Kassara, like I thought everything was going to be like different. Like I thought they were probably going to speak English, but I wasn't sure. But it was cool, like, their junior church was like just like ours, and we got to like help lead singing and stuff. And the guy who was in charge of it, his name was Kenai, and he was just like super like awesome. And he like when he taught the lesson and stuff, like the kids just like loved it. And he was also like the sound man for the thing for the night service, and that was really cool. They already talked about it some, like getting to sing a special in front of the church and like how much it meant to them. Like a lot of people were like crying and stuff afterwards, and that was just really cool. But also it was cool to go soul winning, because okay, so we went soul winning 2 days, and one day I was with Ethan Correa, and the other time I was with Zach Real. And when I was with Ethan, you already heard about, like, the dogs and stuff. But, like, so the second or third house we go to, this guy comes to the door with his hand behind his back. And I was like, hi, we're from Open Bible Baptist Church. We just wanted to invite you out. He was like, oh, okay. So then he pulls his hand out from behind his back, and he's holding, like, a knife. It's, like, that big. And I'm like, okay. And then just, like, puts it down next on a table next to the door like it was nothing. I'm like, all right. But he ended up being really drunk, so I'm glad he didn't use the knife on us. But then, like, 10 minutes later, there was this dog. And it was just laying there, like, on the side of the road. Like, I had seen it walk up there a couple of houses before, and I thought, you know, it's, like, sleeping or something. But then, like, once we get within, like, 10 feet of it, it just jumps up and just, like, starts running at it. It's, like, barking. And Ethan just started yelling at it. And then this guy comes out. He claps one time. The dog darts it 30 feet down the road. Like, he was so scared. But then the guy was super nice. So then we started carrying rocks, too. And I had, like, a little rock. It was, like, that big. So it fit in my pocket. But it was, like, big enough that I could pull it out if I needed to. Ethan didn't care. He, like, grabbed, like, a brick that was, like, that big. And he was like, I don't care. If they think I'm weird, they can think I'm weird. But I'm not going to get eaten by a dog. I'm like, all right. But we didn't really talk to a lot of people aside from the knife guy that day. But then on, I think it was Tuesday, when I was with Zach, we went out on the first road, and I think we talked to like one guy on that whole road, and he, like, no one else answered the door. So then I was kind of starting to get discouraged. But then my dad dropped us off on another road, like down the street. So like, and there was these four kids like outside playing. So I was like, all right, we can go talk to these kids. And usually when it's like a big group like that, I don't like usually plan on like talking to all of them like at the same time about the gospel, but I just like felt like God telling me like, no, I want you to talk to all of them. So then first I invited them on the bus and stuff, and then I started like witness to them, and I was kind of like scared to talk to like four, like they were like, I think the youngest one was 12 and the youngest one, or the oldest one was 12, the youngest one was like 7, and I was like scared because like all I had was this Bible, it's like kind of small, so and then Zach was like, hey, Nihai. I was like, what? He was like, it's on the back of the cards. So I looked on the back of the track and I just used that to witness to them, and all four of them ended up getting saved. Their names was Sean and Destiny and Kyler and Kyleon. And that was just cool because they said they had actually ridden on the bus and come to church before. But then like seeing them like get saved, and like I could see like especially two of them, like they like really meant it. And that was just cool to see, like, and immediately like the oldest one, his name was Sean, and he ran across the street to his house and like started like showing the stuff to his mom and his dad, and that was cool. And then there was this guy named Johnny, and he was visiting there. He's like goes to church in Albuquerque, but his mom was the bus captain of our bus, and so he was on the bus with us, and we just like started talking to him, and he was really cool, like his testimony and stuff, like, and you could like tell how much he like really loved it, like he loved church, he loved being on the bus. And like when we were singing songs on the bus, he like thought it was like the greatest thing in the world. So that was really cool, like to get to see how much like he loved it, and like just like if you were just like around him for 5 minutes, you knew that like there was something different about this guy.
Yeah.
But that was just really cool. And then I'm only saying it because Reese mentioned it, but I had the biggest rock that we pulled out of the ground. And yeah, I was scared for the plane ride because that was the first time I've ever ridden on a plane before. But then like, it was like a bus ride. It was normal. It was okay. But once again, I just want to say thank you to everyone, to the whole church. And if we have it again, I would encourage you to go because it was life changing. All right. But thank you.
Amen. Miss Heather, if you want to go ahead and come up.
Good evening, I'm Heather Versalis, the wife of Brother James. And something that, there's just so much, but I've tried to make it small. Something my husband had shown me in the Bible years ago was how when Jesus called Peter and Andrew and James and John, they were fishing, but how it says that two of them were casting the net, and then two other ones, when Jesus called them, they were mending the nets. And just, we've talked over the years about just the importance of obviously soul winning, but then also all the things that make church possible. I think about Brother Wiebe with the buses and Brother Richard and all that he does and everything. And this trip was a great example of that, just how the Lord used just so many different skills and talents and personalities to get so much done there. And we had the first day we got there, Brother Chitty split up everyone that was 20 and older and then everyone that was under 20. And so obviously he had the skilled labor. You can figure out which one that was. But then just like Brother James said, the willingness that the teenagers had to just work, and they worked so hard, and it was such a blessing to be able to work with them. And the different ladies that helped me work with them, I'm so thankful for their attitudes, helping to teach and help the teenagers along. But so much of what we did there, it just helped me realize how much we kind of take for granted here sometimes, that we do have not just a maintenance man, but a maintenance crew to do all of these things, and just how many churches don't have that. And you think about, you know, we have the bus drivers and Sunday school teachers and soul winning teams that go out, and we can get so spoiled kind of. And it was just a reminder that some of the girls had mentioned, you know, we should do some of this at our church. And you know, and I appreciate that the Lord showed them that, you know, we can't just leave all of it to Brother Richard, but to to look at our church and things that we can do here to help as well. And the biggest blessing of the Lord, just again, just over and over again, he just showed me the different talents and affinities that each of the young people had. And the most impactful to me was my soul winning partner, who was by far the boldest soul winner out there, including, everyone. You've heard over and over again about the dogs. Well, my soul winning partner for two of the days was actually Megan Moore. And if you know Megan, you've probably never talked to Megan because she doesn't really talk out loud, but she loves dogs. And it was just such a blessing to see how the Lord used someone that, again, she's very, very, very quiet, probably one of the quietest church members that we have. But the Lord used her to, there was just many times the dogs would, you know, come towards us and she would just, you know, she's like the dog whisperer. She would just reach out and they would, you know, just start, you know, she would just love on them. And then there was one house in particular, most of the places we went soul winning, there's kind of a large cul-de-sac with about 6 to 8 houses. And so we were going up one side and two teenage boys, I won't name them, but they went up the other side and they skipped over, which rightfully so, they skipped over a house that had one really loud dog that was chained up and then two other dogs on the other side of the yard that were not chained up. And again, you can try to analyze their ears or their tail or whatever, but when a dog's barking at you, it's, you know, that's all out the window. So the boys skipped over it and we kind of met them at the middle and they were at a house. And she went past the boys over to this house that they had skipped. And she stood there at the end of the driveway and just looked at it, looked at the dogs, walked up the driveway, about 2/3 of the way up the driveway, turned around and just nodded at me and kept walking. So I was like, well, I'm not going to let her go up by herself. I guess we're going to this house. So I went up and I followed her up. She knocks on the door and then steps back behind me because she was more than willing to be with the dogs, but not as long as I took care of the people, she took care of the dogs. And so we were able to witness to a young lady at that door, a Catholic lady. She didn't get saved, but we were able to share the gospel with her. And again, it's just the Lord just showed me over and over again just how different not just the adults but the teenagers are, but just how the Lord can use each one of us and no matter what our personality or our skills are. And I'm just so grateful for that. And I just want to thank the church for helping us to go. I know that y'all are praying for us, and I just think about the fundraisers. I saw more than one of you not only donate something, but purchase back your own donations. And so, and just how generous the church was really to give us the opportunity to serve the Lord. And we thank the Lord for that so often, just the opportunity to serve him. But this church to me is just such an example of how the Lord gives us that opportunity to serve him on the missions trip, of course, but then, you know, just week to week, you know, the things that our teens were doing, soul winning, this church, you know, feeds them dinner every Wednesday night so that they can go out soul winning right after school. And the adults that come out with us soul winning and on the bus routes, training them and working with them, you know, allowing them to work alongside you on maintenance and all of that. Just there was so much that we did that's just natural for our teenagers to do because they do those type of things in our church all the time. And I'm just really thankful for that. And I'm just thankful for a church that all of our kids, the Vercellas kids, but all of our teenagers can grow up serving the Lord and with just all the opportunities they have here to serve him. So thank you very much.
Amen.
Again, it's just an amazing ministry that we have. We were just this past week, my family and I and a few others were at the Sword of the Lord conference. And it's just unbelievable the type of ministry that we have here at Landmark. It's one of those things that you almost take for granted what we have. But you look around and I've looked and I've looked and I've looked. There's no other ministry like Landmark that has the different outreaches that we have, all the different facets that we have and the opportunities to serve the Lord. We ought to be thankful for it. And just every opportunity that we have, each one of you have to be able to serve the Lord. And let me encourage you, maybe we'll make that the invitation later on, that if you have a special talent, God gave you that talent for a particular purpose. And if you're not using that for him and for his glory in his church, well, then let me encourage you to talk to someone, whether it be myself, Dr. Pitts, there's always bus workers or Sunday school workers or laborers that we can plug in. Maybe it's in the choir with Brother Bert or whatever the case is. The Lord gives us talents, and those talents are for his honor and glory. So let me encourage you, and we'll make that the invitation later on. Brother Richard, I'm going to have your family, however it is that you want to send up, whoever's going to go up first, why don't you go ahead and come on up. It was a special blessing to have him and his family be able to get away from all the other things here so that we can basically put him to work the same way over there. So amen. Megan.
Good evening. I just want to say thank you for your prayers and support. It was definitely a blessing to be able to go on the missions trip. I was able to lead two people to the Lord while we were out soul winning. And then on Sunday, I was able to work in one of the junior churches, and then we were able to sing in the choir and in the group, so that was a blessing, and it was just a blessing to be able to help the church and just serve where we were needed. So thank you.
Amen.
Hello, church. I'm Jennifer Hutchinson. It was a blessing to be able to go on this trip. I am a pastor's daughter. I've never been on a missions trip, but that was one thing that I really wanted to do with my family. So we were very blessed to be able to do it. Thank you for all your prayers. Thank you for all your support. I did not be able to witness to somebody to lead them to the Lord, but I was there when Megan led both of the man and the young girl to the Lord, and it was a blessing to be able to watch my daughter lead somebody to the Lord and know Amen. What is really important. So one of them, they really scared us, first of all, when we went in, because they're like, they don't like white people. They're not gonna, you have to talk to them a certain way. You have to just talk to them. This is what you have to do. You can't mention death. So like, they just really scared us, to be honest with you. So me and Megan were out when we were soul winning, and like either nobody was answering or the people were just shutting their door in our face. And so we were just like, I was already thinking it, but I wasn't going to say it. And Megan's like, Mom, if we were home, I know what to do. She said, but here it's just like everything that I've been taught. It's like we're told not to do that. And I'm like, okay. I said, you know what? I said, I'm feeling the same way. I said, let's just stop and let's pray. So we stopped on the sidewalk and we just prayed. The very next door we knocked on, he was kind of standoffish at first, but Megan was able to lead him to the Lord. So the Lord just answered like that quickly. It was such a blessing. And then the other time we were out on the road and we were doing the opposite side of the road. And some lady come out running out of her house to the street. And she's like, are you guys from the church? Are you guys from a church? And we're like, yes, ma'am. And so I didn't know what she was going to say. I didn't know if she was going to say, you know, go away or whatever. But she's like, hey, my mom really needs to talk to somebody. Can you guys come talk to my mom? She needs to get into church. So we went in. And, okay, so I know we are always taught don't go in the house. But this lady, she pulled us in. The lady, she would not come to the door. So she's like begging us. So I stood at the door. Megan sat on the couch where I could see her. There was a little, probably two-year-old inside. And so I was trying to distract her so the mom could, or so the grandma, so Megan could lead the, or tell her the plan of salvation and just talk to her. And so, and then there was a little girl, I'd probably say she was about 10, 12, somewhere in there, and she was like, Megan asked her, she's like, do you want to sit with us and do you want to hear what I need to tell your grandma? And she's like, yeah. And so she was so eager to listen and everything. And the grandma, she had a devotion book, and she brought it out to us. And Megan, I think it was KJV. And so Megan just told her to continue reading it and stuff. And like I said, I'm sitting back and I'm trying not to distract. And I'm trying to, this little girl, she's trying to get me to go to our bedroom to see all our toys. She's trying to bring all her toys out to me. So I'm just trying to stay in front of the door, first of all, because we did have partners and they had no clue where we were. I don't promote that. If it wasn't my own child, I wouldn't do that. But so we were standing, I stood in front of the door, and finally I kind of discreetly got my phone out and texted Brother James and said, hey, I know I'm not supposed to be in a house, but I'm in here with my daughter. She's leading somebody to the Lord. So he was like, well, we've been looking for you. I'm like, I'm sorry. But so she ended up leading her to the Lord. The grandma, she said, she told us, she's like, just pray for me. I need lots of prayer. And so we have been praying for her. But it was wonderful to be able to watch Megan lead two souls to the Lord. If you've never listened to Brother Chitty's testimony, you need to listen to it. And for all you ladies in here, if you don't pray hard for your husband, pray hard for your husband. Because like some of them have said, Brother Chitty's words were that if it wasn't for his wife, he would have given up. But his wife continued to serve, continued to pray, and Brother Chitty is who he is because of the Lord, but his wife had a big part in that. So thank you, church, for your prayers. Thank you for your support.
Amen. As you go ahead and come up, Lily, exactly how Miss Jennifer said, it was one of those things to where both Dr. Chitty or Pastor Chitty, Don Jr., even other missionaries that I've spoken to, that I spoke to about those that go to the Navajo people, they all said the same thing, that they're very standoffish, don't really listen to you. In fact, the group that went last year told me the same exact thing as well. So when we went there, and to be honest, I was delightfully shocked. Anyone that we spoke to, they're absolutely, completely open to us talking to them. I don't think there was anyone that was any more standoffish than you would have anywhere else. But to see that openness, you can tell that the Lord was with us, and you can tell that there's divine appointments that were set, and you can tell that the Lord was really just working through everything throughout that time. And that's, again, that's for your prayers and the prayers that were made for everything. So again, thank you for everything there. It truly was something unique that we were able to see. And even speaking with Brother Chitty about that it was not, it is not normal for that to happen. Lily.
Hello, church. It is a pleasure to be able to share my testimony with you. As you may know, we had a teens mission trip to New Mexico, and there are two groups that drove vans. Well, my family was one of them, and we went through a lot of states, which was really beautiful. But when we got to New Mexico, I saw a lot of mountains. We got to take pictures. It was really beautiful. And when we got to New Mexico, we were the first ones there, and it was like really late at night. Brother Che was showing us around and where we would be staying, and I looked at everything, and I just remembered how God can help us through everything and how amazing He is. And Brother Che was telling stories about his testimony. And he told a story about how churches had dropped their support on him because another church had went out and bought his wife a new dress and him, he could borrow a car. And they came to church the next day with it. Well, they had dropped support on it. And it just really broke my heart to see how many churches have dropped support on them because they are just trusting in God, and God is giving them blessings. So every time I've thought about that story, I've just tried to work my best, and on the mission trip, I hope that I was a blessing and not a hindrance. And I just want to thank Brother Vercellus and Mrs. Vercellus for everything you've done. Thank you.
Amen. Brother Richard? Brother Richard will be your last one here, so we'll see how this goes. Maybe he won't be. I may have to do another one just in case.
I'm going to start off with thank you that Pastor's not here because, you know, he had already threatened me that I was going to have to pre-record my testimony so that way he could edit it out. But after we had talked about it, there wouldn't have been like a half a second left of my testimony, you know, and I figured at least I've got probably a good minute before he calls up to the sound booth from where he's at and says, cut him off,
beep,
cut him
beep,
off,
beep,
cut him
beep,
off.
Beep, 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 beep. No.
So, but amen. I just wanted to start off with, you see the goal still here, and it's my livelihood that stands why that goal's still here. If y'all could still keep giving to that, because I did go a little overboard on my spending, as pastors probably told a lot of y'all. I was under the impression that, you know, my pastor taught me ask for forgiveness, not permission. Well, when my car didn't get turned off, that meant I was still good to go. That's the way I looked at it. But apparently that's not the way it was.
So you're fine.
You know, so it was, you know, it was enjoyable. We had a blessing the whole time we were there. Like Landy said, you know, he called her to the side all the time and told her a joke every day. You know, he said she was beautiful. So I had to do it to you, Landy.
Beep, so, beep, beep, beep,
amen.
Beep.
But it's the blessing was is the amount of men and women that could step up and actually do the work. You know, yes, the soul winning was important, but what to me our biggest goal to get out there was to get a lot of stuff done and get a lot of stuff accomplished for them, and you know, to have the blessing of getting more than what they ever thought we could get done, and then some, to me was the blessing for us and for them. You just don't realize the it's a different atmosphere out there, and a lot of y'all know how joking I am, but you know how soft heart I got, and this ministry, what we do for us and for others is, like everybody said, there's no other ministry like it. And I just want to thank Pastor and the church for allowing us to go on it, because the eye-opening experience of being able to go out there was well worth it. So I know I joke a lot and like I have a good time, and you know, it's a blessing to be able to enjoy what you do and go out and have fun while you're doing it. And we did. We had a lot of fun, and we joked around and carried on. You know, if you want to hear some of the stories, ask Daniel. He's got a pair of pliers to talk about. But that one you have to talk to him personally about, because Pastor would fire me if I brought that story up myself. So, but we did have fun. I mean, it was not just all work. It wasn't all play, but we enjoyed the time we were there. Pastor Carter's not here to tell him personally that Brother Chitty would give him a run for his money when it comes to a half a day's work, because Pastor Carter's half a day's work is at least 12 hours. Brother Chitty's half a day's work at least 15. You know, and we did put it in, but it was enjoyable. I mean, every last one of us that were doing stuff, you heard it time and time again that nobody wanted to quit. Everybody wanted to get done what they were getting done, you know, and that work ethic is because of this ministry. And what has been instilled in all of us. So I just want to say thank you for that, and just for everybody to keep up the thought process of doing the hard work and staying with it.
Amen. Danny, I'm going to go ahead and have you come up, because I didn't see you there, and you won't be able to go on Wednesday. But to see the type of effect that it had on the church, right? Again, it's one of those things to where, I mean, they can say thank you. They can say thank you many, many times over, but it's what you see in their eyes and how you see their heart and what really, how it affected them, all right? When you've got some of their teenagers coming to us and saying thank you, and you can see it in their heart, how much it really affected them, how much it really changed it in some. In one of them, Keegan, it said it changed his outlook on God, the way that we went there and served. Right. And what an amazing testimony. He's a quiet boy that wouldn't have given a testimony, but that night of testimonies in front of the teens, he went forward and gave a testimony just to say thank you, and to think just how much of an impact that is. And again, just continue to be praying for how it will continue to impact them and continue to bless their ministry and continue to allow that to grow. All right. Brother Daniel.
Well, for you guys that don't know me, I'm Daniel Betancourt. I'm the one with, well, not me. I'm Daniel, my mom, Mark. But I'm the oldest out of all the monkeys, you know, so, but anyways, I had a good time. I'm going to be honest with you, I wasn't going to go, you know, but I was jokingly around with Miss Heather and my mom, and they said, oh, my mom's like, I don't know, I'm going to share. I told my mom, if you go, I'll go, jokingly, and then Miss Heather took that serious, and I was in a meeting, and they're like, you're going, so I'm like, all right, but most of the time, I didn't go soul winning like most of the young fellows and young people, young girls. I didn't go out soul winning. I was working with Brother Gillian most of the time. You know, he was pulling pranks on me the whole time and trying to get. I learned how to put floor. I normally run wire, you know, and put switches and outlets, but putting floor, ain't no joke, all right? Putting floor is hard, you know, and but praise the Lord, Brother Gillian was there, you know, he was teaching me how to do it right, you know, and also, I was with Brother Hutchinson just one day, praise the Lord, you know, and, but, you know, if you want to hear the story, I'm not going to say it up here, you know, because I will get kicked out of the church, right? And, we had a good time, you know, we had a good time, we worked a lot, and on the way back from New Mexico, man, I'm afraid of flying, well, not me, right, but the pilots, but I do not like to go on planes and fly. And right in front of me, or behind me, I don't know who it was Elijah Rosales, Ben Hogan, and I don't know who else. But every time the plane just went like this, and Elijah looked back, he was like, yeah, we're going to fall. You know, and I'm like, man, what? You know, and it was him, or it was a Ben, or it was Nehemiah. It was just someone that was making a joke. And then my mom was just looking at me. And she was a scared one. She was like, I'm nervous. You know, and I was there to comfort her. No, she was there to comfort me. You know, but I had a good time. And one quick testimony. This is when I got back, you know. I was not worried, but I was not stressed. I wasn't stressed either. I had a lot of payments past due. Because I was going to go on the mission trip. And I said, you know what, I'm just going to trust the Lord. You know, and just trust him. And normally when I work, I like to get paid. But this time I didn't get paid, you know. But I was just working, you know, worked hard. But when I came back, I wasn't sleeping. I was stressing on what I was going to do, what I was going to do to pay, how much I had to work extra and all that stuff. And my dad just came. I was just thinking, I'm like, Lord, I need to pay these things off, you know. And my dad just came out of the blue. And I was thinking that, praying to God. He came out of the blue. He's like, here's some money. He said, I know you work hard, you know, and I know you have bills past due. Here's some money so you can pay your bills. And I know it's not a coincidence. You know, we serve a living God, you know, and the things we do for the mission trip ain't in vain. You know, it's not in vain. You know, thank you for Pastor Carter that does everything he did, you know, and for us. He didn't do it for himself or for his wife. He did it for him, for the Lord and for us, you know. And I'm very, very thankful because my family is a bus product. We come from the bus and from Brother Hipley and Brother Weeby. And I would just like to thank the church. Thank you for allowing us to go on this beautiful mission trip. And thank you.
Amen. Now, particularly with Brother Daniel, I know he didn't mention it, but he was a special blessing being there. He was there doing a lot of the electrical work, in fact, some personal electrical work there at Brother Chitty's house. And he was there as much as he would have wanted to go out soul winning. He was there specifically being used, specifically with the talent that he had there. And he was a special blessing. Sure, it was used on the floors as well, but he was used everywhere. And there's quite a few jokes that we've got for him as well. And Brother Chitty will never forget Daniel, that's for sure. But I'll tell you what a blessing it was just to be able to see the many hands work and see how the Lord put everything in order, put everything together. Now that church already has a lot of servants, right? They work hard and they serve hard. And again, even those that are on staff there, they're not paid on staff, they're volunteered on staff, but they're there serving the Lord because they love their God and they love their people, right? Our church is the same, or it ought to be the same. We ought to love our God and love our people and serve him with all that we have. Every single one of us has been given special talents, right? The question is, are you using that talent for the Lord, right? If we were to let you know of all the different opportunities that there are, there wouldn't be enough people for the number of opportunities that there are. But there's always a hole that needs to be filled throughout the ministry. I can think right now of several classes that need Sunday school teachers, Sunday school workers to just help in the class and different areas of the ministry and junior churches and so on. There's always more soul winning that can go on with more people that are coming in and out of our town. And there's always more work to be done. There's work at, we just got done with camp, right? And praise the Lord with everything that was done over this past year for camp. And I'll tell you now, there's so much more that can be done, right? When you take a look at all the different parts of our ministry and we take a look at what we did there at that ministry and what a blessing it was, but to think how much we can do here, right? And what it comes down to, it's never about, and you've heard it preached before, it's never about ability, right? It's about availability. It's about whether or not we're willing to make ourselves available for God to use. And if you make yourself available, God will give you whatever is necessary to get it done. Brother Daniel, for instance, was an example there. He was there for electrical work, but we had him pulling floors. Right? Anyone can do some of those things if they're available and make themselves available to do it. So let me make that invitation tonight. Right? What place does God have for you in this local church? Every single one of us ought to have a place in the church. Now, for some of you, you may not have the strength to go out door knocking every single day, but you know what you can do? You can pray and fervently pray. And we have many people that are prayer warriors in this church, even just earlier today. Someone came to me and said, by the way, I've been praying for your son for this long, right? Ever since this time, I've been praying for your son, right? And that means something to me, right? That means something to the teenagers of this church, right? Whether it be a prayer warrior, whether it be a teacher, whether it be somewhere to serve, whether it be helping Brother Wiebe change the oil of the buses, whatever that case may be, there's always things that we can do for the local church, right? Because we're doing it for the Lord. So let me make that invitation today. If we can all stand, please, heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. Allow the Lord to search your heart. Allow your heart to be searched by the Lord. Where is your place in the local church? Right? Maybe you're doing some, but you're not doing as much as God wants you to do. A lot of times it's not because we don't know what to do. It's because we hold ourselves back from allowing God to use us. But oh man, when you allow God to use you, right, and to see what only God allows you to see. We've had our young people here at camp surrender to preach, surrender their lives fully and completely to the Lord. Right? Let me ask you, teenagers, are there more of you that need a surrender? Are there more of you that are fighting that call of God? Earlier today, I had Brother Chris Gillian preach in teen church. He just recently surrendered to go to Bible college. He's mentioned this morning, he's going to be a freshman at our Bible college at 40-something years old. You know, it doesn't matter what the age is. It matters whether you're making yourself available to allow God to do what he wants to do with you. If you're willing to do that today, God's willing to take whatever it is you give him, whether it be a mansion or whether it be a mite, and do something great with it. That's how good our God is. So let me encourage you, as the invitation begins, come up and do some business with God. Allow him to work in your heart and surrender fully to him.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely